Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
Until 1994, few athletes enjoyed the mass appeal that O.J. Simpson did, and then all of that changed. The Simpson family announcing that O.J. passed away yesterday at 76 after a cancer battle.
Welcome to the Masters. Welcome to the Masters. And it never got old all day. It was great.
Mike Danger.
Perfect.
Yes.
This is perfect.
Yes.
God, I live a charmed life. I can say whatever I want, and I got Worm to back me up.
Worm to back you up.
Oh, man, it's nice to have friends like Gene Battaglia and Worm.
Gene Battaglia.
Talk a little golf. Ipe Mizuhara now expected to plead guilty to federal charges of stealing millions of dollars from Shohei Ohtani.
It's showtime!
Scott Drew has passed on an offer for the Kentucky job.
I'm jacked about another opportunity. Like, I'm like, let's go. Now, I met with the team. There is no team.
We're a team.
Me and my Buffalo Sabres. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Roger Sanchez Vicario.
I wish I did know of him, but...
Her!
Oh, no. I don't even know. I don't know.
95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
You know, something dawned on me after we were having our discussion about your buddy Worm. Well, we welcome you back into the Sports Bar. It's Danger and Battaglia. Glad you're with us. Thanks for listening at 95.7 FM, AM 950, Odyssey app. YouTube, Fan Rochester, our channel there, also streaming at twitch.com/TheFanRochester. Worm is your college buddy. He's currently a lawyer for the FCC?
No. He works for a law firm in Washington that represents the FCC in a lot of cases. So the FCC, as you can imagine, they need representation like any.
If he's aligned with the FCC, then I think his nickname is warranted. Worm.
And the only time I hear from Worm is like when the Montreal Canadiens are doing something. Usually I get the DM there, like, hey, talk about this on the show.
Yeah.
Or he was trying to plan up something to come to Buffalo, but hey, the Habs are down in the dumps, and, well, Buffalo Sabres hockey, not that great either.
Yeah, he wants us to talk about the Montreal Canadiens. We're not going to do that. We're going to talk about the Belleville Senators in the sports.
Yeah, a second. I learned something during the break, and I can't play this piece of audio.
You can play it over your phone.
I could, but I don't think it holds up today. How many people have heard the ABC? If you lived through this, if you didn't live through this, I understand. But on the night of the OJ chase, every network was live. NBC pulls out of the NBA finals with the New York Knicks in the finals to go live. Mm. This is how big a story was. And the anchor at the time, Peter Jennings, he has long since passed. ABC going, anchoring the live coverage. Like, this is a major, major event. We're all wondering, oh my gosh, is OJ going to kill himself? Is he going to surrender? What's happening next? And they go to a man on the street, Robert Higgins. And then Robert Higgins lets a Baba Booey off the air. And for us, we listened to Howard at the time. And I'm just kind of playing that Danger steps out of the studio. And sometimes I play music during the studio, you know, during the breaks to get us in the mood. I'm
big Two Live Crew guy over here.
Yeah. And I'm playing this. And Danger's like, what is that? You never heard the Baba Booey call during the OJ chase?
There's a couple of things. One, you got to remember, in 1994, I wasn't in this area. So Howard Stern, for me, being in Minnesota, wasn't a thing. Howard Stern wasn't in any market that I was listening to. It's not like you just stream radio the way you do now. If you had Howard Stern syndicated into your the town that you were living in, you knew about Howard Stern, you knew about Baba Booey.
This is the slight gap. You got
now,
the town.
I was in the industry, so I was obviously aware of Howard Stern and Baba Booey and the bit and everything like that, but it didn't resonate as big of a deal as it did for anybody that actually listened to that show with any sort of regularity. You knew, oh, they got one over on Jennings. Stern and his, you know, they're legends. That's what they do. I remember where I was. I was where I am right now in a studio doing a show. I was live on the air and I could not focus because all I wanted to do was learn more about what was happening on with OJ and with the white Bronco chase. My roommate at the time also worked at the radio station. We get done with work and we crack open cold ones and we're just watching this all unfold throughout the course of the day and the night. And of course, then the trial and everything that came after it. I mean, think about what that was. And there's a lot of people listening that don't understand what we're talking about. They only know a world where reality TV has existed. It wasn't a thing. Reality TV was not a thing.
No, people say this sparked it all because once OJ, skipping ahead in the story, goes to trial and they put the trial on TV, holy cow, we couldn't turn away from it.
Court TV became a thing. Court TV. Imagine a channel that was dedicated to showing the inside of a courtroom and these trials and these cases. Court TV was a thing. It's not a thing anymore. It was a thing because and the ratings were monstrous, monstrous. It was gold. So of course that led to the real world. I think the real world actually came first, but the idea that, you know, we had this unprecedented access and we wanted to see how it all played out. It was really reality TV before the reality TV that we knew today. But to get back to the original soundbite, I was aware of Howard Stern. I was aware of Baba Booey. But I wasn't a listener because I didn't have any way of listening to him. Howard Stern wasn't in Minneapolis. He wasn't in St. Cloud, Minnesota.
So like for Middle America, just hearing this, oh my goodness, I see OJ and he's looking scared. And again, I won't play this.
Howard Stern is a much, much bigger deal here in the Northeast than he is anywhere else in the country. Now, obviously, with XM and with his distribution, if you're a fan, you can seek that out. You can get it. You can pay for it. You can listen to it as much as you want. But I'm telling you that in Middle America, like if you didn't grow up listening to it, you grew up listening to him. A lot of people I know, a lot of friends that I know that are from here grew up listening to him. So that has a lot more weight than it did for me. But I do love Al Michaels coming in at the end of it to be Grumpy Al once again.
Grumpy Al. Well, think about that too. It's like, here is this serious news event and they bring in Al to do like the play-by-play, help out Peter Jennings with this. What, like on what grounds? Like he's from Los Angeles?
No, he's great at play-by-play. He's the best play-by-play. And he's in the left lane. And he's swerving into the center lane. And he continues, oh, it looks like he's increased his speed. Now he's decreased it down to 45. You know, he could do the play-by-play if you wanted him to.
Well, that was, we'll have a lot of memories. But you're right, though. People that didn't live through this, I don't feel like we're explaining.
No, there's a lot of people. I know there are people listening right now that have no idea how impactful that car chase was.
It wasn't just the car chase. It was everything that led up to it. The murders happen on a Sunday. OJ is a prime suspect. And the story keeps dragging out and dragging out and dragging out. And then on Friday morning, press conference in Los Angeles where they think they're going to announce, okay, O.J. Simpson has turned in because his attorneys, no, he's a fugitive. We're like, oh my gosh, yeah. O.J.'s a fugitive. Nobody worked that day. And if you live through it, you remember exactly where you were. Danger, I don't think I've ever told you where I was. It's my first radio job, my first week on the job at WCMF AM.
Oh, yeah.
Which it was 990, and I'm running a Rochester Red Wings game for Josh Lewin and Glenn Geffner. This is before the strike of 94.
Wow.
So I'm straight out of college. And I remember who the CMF jock was that night. And we just kind of like, oh my gosh. There's like all of a sudden all the interns couldn't leave work. We're just watching it the whole time.
Who was the CMF jock that night?
Uncle Raj?
No, he was doing radio, and I think he's doing a podcast now.
I understand. The guy that was on before Uncle Raj. That's...
Wasn't Rich Gensler.
No, I get it. I get it. I got it. That one I got. I didn't get the audio because I didn't live through that, and Stern wasn't as prevalent in my life growing up as he was for you. But yeah, the loss of OJ, it is a chance to reflect on just how different the world became because of that story. And I said it earlier, and I'll say it again. It reminds me how much I miss Norm Macdonald. For everybody that's sharing the Norm Macdonald jokes on OJ, I can't get enough of it. Like, he was brilliant in just eviscerating OJ Simpson.
Here's what you need to do tonight, too. Go look up Norm Macdonald when he hosted the ESPYs.
Oh.
Woo!
Crushed.
Wasn't asked back for that either.
No. He
did not care.
Norm Macdonald gave zero Fs, which is what made him great, and I miss that guy. I miss that. I feel bad. I feel more bad that he's not with us moving forward. It's just a reminder that he was gone far too soon as well. And you know, as far as sports talk, I always remember the early days of the jungle, right? Jim Rome would... Mm. Orenthal, stop killing people.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. I'll drink to that.
Oh, gosh. Dandelion, I said this yesterday. Like, he's our producer. He does a great job. Last night he's on social media touting the big win for his beloved Belleville Senators over Toronto.
Disgusting.
I'm not kidding you. You can go look this
up.
It's
disgusting.
I mean, you want to talk about the Francesa of Francesas. The Francesa of Francesas thinks this is dumb.
Oh, who cares?
Like, here are the rules. Like, if he was from Belleville, fine. If you're from Scranton, Wilkes-Barre, that area, fine. You can cheer for that team.
Danielle Drume from Belleville.
You cannot root for the laundry of another minor league team. I'm sorry. You think I pull for the Syracuse Mets? No,
big Syracuse Mets guy.
No,
over there?
No, danger. Your Iowa Cubs come to the town like later in the year. You're like, yeah, no, you don't care.
Yeah.
I look, and there are people like Dandelion. I'm not gonna say he's the only one. I have a friend named Greg. Greg loves the Maple Leafs, and he gets tickets right behind the bench with Marley gear on. That, my friends, is disgusting. You'd be a real Rochester fan.
I get it. Right, like. You're showing loyalty to the parent club, and that's how you justify it, right? Well, I'm a Sens fan, so of course I want to know about how the minor league team is doing. Like, if you're a Red Wings fan, do you have to become a Nats fan? It's not like Nats fans are coming to Rochester to watch the Red Wings.
No, not at all. I was never a Twins fan. I was never an Oriole fan. Now, if you're impressionable, like, there are a lot of Oriole fans in the area that, hey, I like the team because I just kind of latched on. I saw Cal Ripken here, and then that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. But to kind of do it in reverse. Like, I don't – like, if the bad example, but if the Blackhawks all of a sudden had a – because you love your Chicago Blackhawk hockey.
I do.
If all of a sudden they had an affiliate in the North Division, danger, you would never cheer for a team.
Amherst guy.
Yeah.
That's their team. Are you kidding? No. Just despicable, Dan. Despicable. We still love you, but it just shows, you know, the little flaw in the character there.
Oh, no, he'll be like, no, I like the Amherst. Just not when they're playing Belleville. No. No. Wrong.
It's been reported today, Gino, that a guilty plea is coming in the Ohtani gambling case.
Yeah, we haven't even gotten to this.
I know. And the interpreter apparently has stolen more than the initial $4.5 million that was reported. The number is closer to $16 million. This plea could confirm Ohtani's claim that he had no knowledge of the bets being made with his money. So, takes. Do I believe Ohtani had no knowledge of this? No, I do not.
What?
Do I believe Ohtani participated in illegal sports wagering in California? Yes. Yes, I do. Do I believe that the feds can prove Ohtani's participation beyond a reasonable doubt without compliance from his interpreter's cooperation? Not likely. And it's funny that this is happening on a day where we lose a guy who may have benefited most from our justice system. Uncle Juice is a good man. Gene, you know that. He's never going to stop being the Juice. It sure looks like the Ohtani story here is going to go away nice and neat with him getting off and his interpreter being the ultimate fall guy. Somewhere Chris Carter is smiling ear to ear. I was right.
Yeah.
Got to have a fall guy.
Yeah. Chris Carter, who doesn't work in the business anymore because he told that in a symposium telling future NFL players, no, make sure you have a fall guy. Yeah, I'm sure the NFL wanted that message out. Hey, ESPN, you can't have Chris Carter on the air anymore. On Ohtani, I agree with you. What's the difference here between Pete Rose and that? Well, Pete Rose, in the Dowd report, it's his damn handwriting. That's him placing the betting slips. Yes, Pete Rose had runners, but ultimately he gets caught. Where's the digital footprint here for Ohtani, other than the bank account, which for whatever reason, Ohtani just kind of let
this guy go. There's evidence, I guess, that the interpreter actually went into the account, changed some settings in the app to make sure that Ohtani didn't see the notifications when withdrawals were happening. I mean, if you can prove all of that, then yeah, Ohtani comes out of this clean. But I don't believe it. I don't believe that Ohtani didn't know that his interpreter was wagering, and got in the hole 16 mil.
Well, where's Ohtani's attorneys on all this? You're negligent. Like, if you're not paying attention to your client's finances going in and out, that's why the IRS is involved, too. I say this, Danger, because I sent a check in this morning. Not real happy about it, but
don't get me started.
Yeah, I'm not the guy making $16 million a year or betting $16 million. I think the IRS would kind of think. When we got to this point, Danger, it wasn't some intrepid reporter. It's because the investigation was actually kind of winding down. And they had this guy nailed to a cross. And it's funny how Ohtani's camp wasn't prepared for this. Had no idea.
Well, the less they say, the better they are going to be. And he's not saying anything, and nobody is really saying anything. And this report comes today, and you hear that he's going to plead guilty, and this will go away. And he will ultimately be the fall guy. And the way this looks, it doesn't make Ohtani look bad. You can't have Ohtani looking bad. That makes everybody happy. The Dodgers are happy. Major League Baseball is happy. Ohtani is happy. He's going to get off. And I don't believe for a second that he didn't know that this was happening or that he wasn't participating himself. That's our justice system. Can't prove it without a reasonable doubt.
Is this what killed OJ in the end?
I think there are a lot of murderers that like to golf that are resting easy tonight knowing that OJ won't be looking for them anymore.
I want to go back and watch that ESPN Made in America. Did you ever see that? Mm-mm. The OJ?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Add it to your list, Andrew.
I will. I'll add it to
Fantastic.
The list.
Fantastic. Hey, also, watch the Fox one, too. That's a completely
different spin. People versus OJ Simpson is the one that with David Schwimmer. And we played it earlier. I don't know that we played it. Maybe we'll play it again for happy hour. One last time. Just one last run. Every instance in the People versus OJ Simpson. Every instance of David Schwimmer as Robert Kardashian saying the word juice. I'm going to miss it. I'm going to miss it.
So it was terminal cancer OJ had, and he didn't really let anybody know.
Wasn't there some reporter that stopped him in the street and asked him if he was in hospice?
I don't know if it was a reporter, just some rando with a phone, TMZ sort of thing, and OJ kind of denied it.
Yeah.
But do you give him any credit for not at least having a thirst tour of like, hey, I'm dying?
I think about that a lot, and I can't judge anybody who wants to deal with that news however they want to deal with it. There are a lot of people who battle with cancer that need inspiration or that need that validation. It motivates them. It gets them going. And if you want to be that person, if that gets you through, great. And if you want to be the person that keeps it close to the vest and keeps it private and doesn't say anything about it because you don't want that added attention, that's fine too. It's such a terrible disease. It's so horrible that there's no right or wrong way. You just deal. I think you just deal how you want to deal with it. And nobody can really, the where you would question it is the people that say that fake it. The people that don't really have it, but will use it. Cancer. Now it's such a broad thing. Like technically last year I had a cancerous tumor removed from my bladder. Doesn't mean I have cancer, but with the cancerous tumor, you could say, well, you had cancer. Like, yeah, I had cancerous tumor removed. Now you have to get that checked up, and it's just another thing. You deal with it, but whatever. It's if OJ went on a thirst tour, he knew he would have gotten, well, an inappropriate way of saying it, he would have gotten killed. He would have, everybody would have gone, like, he dealt with it, I think, the way he had to deal with it. Not say anything. And I think there's somewhere in OJ's psyche and his ego, he probably realizes, like, there has to be, I would imagine, some remorse, some guilt somewhere in that soul of what he did. No?
No.
No remorse?
No, that would have happened long, long ago. I would have thought, okay. And Dennis Bernstein's coming up. Dennis, I know you're listening, but this is interesting. Like, if you're on your, I don't know what this would be like. Hey, you have only a few weeks left to live. And you don't need, if you were concerned about what's next here, wouldn't you kind of confess to everything and try to make peace? Unless you've really convinced yourself that this never happened. Oh, here's the one thing, my other thought on this. We don't need to look at OJ's brain. Why? You already know.
Oh, you want to see CTE, yeah, of course.
Well, we don't need to build him into the sympathetic figure.
Right. We'll check in next with Dennis Bernstein of the Fourth Period. We'll talk some NHL. We'll get the playoff picture from Dennis, and we'll take a larger, longer, 30,000-foot view of the Buffalo Sabres from Dennis covering the NHL for the Fourth Period next here on The Fan.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan, Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Fan, Rochester Sports Update.
Former Buffalo Bill O.J. Simpson today losing his battle with cancer. O.J. Simpson was 76. Your Masters leaderboard, where the wind picking up in the afternoon. Bryson DeChambeau has a three-stroke lead, 7-under-65. John Rahm, 2-under-9. Rory McIlroy, even through 8. Tiger Woods has just teed off. Sabres hockey tonight. It's the final game of the regular season for Buffalo, as Washington is the opponent. Our coverage here on The Fan will begin at 7 o'clock. We'll talk to hockey insider Dennis Bernstein from the Fourth Period coming up next year in the Sports Bar. Rochester Red Wings, they get a win down the throughway in Buffalo, 6-3 the final. On the Major League scoreboard, Mets beating up on the Braves, 16-4 wound up being the final. Royals leading the Astros 10-3 in the 7th. A's with a 1-0 lead in Dallas against the Rangers. Gene Battaglia and the Sports Leader, The Fan, Rochester.
Meet or on the rocks? It's the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
We go to L.A. Check in with our buddy Dennis Bernstein, thefourthperiod.com. Talk some NHL, talk some Buffalo Sabres. Dennis, being in L.A., you have to have an O.J. story that you can share with us. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. It's been a minute between drinks at the sports bar, so yeah. Great, glad to be with you. Everybody in L.A., if they're old enough, has an O.J. story. And my story was, well, I was watching the NBA final during the time that it happened with respect to the chase, and I guess it was the aftermath, right? When people used to come visit me in L.A. when I lived on the west side of L.A., and I lived close by to Bel Air. I lived in West L.A. I would actually drive people on the route from the restaurant back to O.J.'s house on Rockingham, and people could see, wow, it really wasn't far away. He could certainly have done it. So we used to drive down Bundy over to Rockingham and pass by the house, and eventually, because there was so much traffic going by that infamous house, that the city put up barriers where you couldn't go into Rockingham anymore unless you were a resident. And then eventually someone bought the house and raised it to the ground and built a new one.
Yeah. The thing I remember about that, and I had a friend in LA that did the same thing, like, hey, take me to the scene here. Yeah. And what you didn't come across on the TV was that Bundy is a busy street. And Dennis, this is only a couple years after the crime scene, that apartment kind of remained. So that always kind of stuck with me.
Yeah. I actually got into, when I visited LA, but right before I moved in 96, when I actually got into an accident on Bundy, because it's a high traffic street, and cars are going 45 miles an hour. There are a couple side streets to pull out. So it's not an easy drive with respect to, there is a lot of vehicular traffic. So that's the other thing, is that, he did the deed and was able to go back through traffic and get back home. But there was certainly proximity from the house in Rockingham to the restaurant where both lost their lives.
Dennis, I want to get a little Stanley Cup playoff primer from you here. We love tapping into your knowledge of the league, but we got to start with our Buffalo Sabres, who once again will be missing the postseason here, 13 consecutive seasons not making the postseason. We wonder about the future of Don Granato. We wonder about how much money is being put into this organization. I mean, Gene makes the observation that just from the outside looking in, it would appear as if this organization is being run as if it's going to be sold. It's been running so lean, and they haven't been investing in payroll. What's your take on the Buffalo Sabres season, a season that is going to end in disappointment once again?
Okay, so they should be in the position that Washington's in tonight, where you need to win a game to stay in the playoff run, or to stay in playoff position. Right, that should be the situation. And you're behind a team that has a minus 40 goal differential. It's not good enough. Now, whether Don Granato goes or not is for management to decide. I can't disagree with your take on the organization. I think if there was some billionaire out there that wanted to buy a team that was based in Buffalo, he could probably have it, right? So you could probably get a deal struck. So doesn't mean the organization is willing to sell. It doesn't mean they're actively selling. But if there was, time and opportunity and right money, an owner not like the one in Arizona that had means, yeah, sure, it could conceivably happen. Now, is the team that far away? No. But every time I've come on the show at the end of a Sabre season, I say the same thing. They're not that far away. They found a goaltender. They may have two if Levi's the real deal, right? Look, Paige, was it asking too much for him to replicate last season's numbers? Yeah. Do you need better than 55 points in 68 games? Yeah, at $7.1 million, you probably do. But again, I think with a couple of tweaks, and it's always going to come down to one thing with this team, right? Is the middle six good enough? Like, is there enough offense there, right? Now, look, I know that Colorado needs middle step because Ryan Johansson wasn't going to win them a championship as a two seed, but to get back Byram in that deal, that's a win as well. So they're in position, right? And they do change coaches. I think they're a coach. Look, I think Craig Berube in a second would be interested in coaching Buffalo because there's still a lot of young talent here. You have an elite center in Tage Thompson. There are a lot of good parts. I love Peterka's game this year, 28 goals. He's really emerged from this team. So there's a lot of positives coming out of this, but it's the same thing every year. What do I say to you guys every year? The biggest tease in the NHL is the Buffalo Sabres, because every year they'll go on a run, they'll finish 2 to 4 points out of a playoff spot, and you look at the teams ahead of them and say, oh, they're going to pass those teams next year, and it never happens, right? They should be ahead of Pittsburgh. Like, they should be ahead of Washington. They should probably be, well, they're the three seed right now, but they're probably better than the Islanders. But it hasn't worked. So if you wanted to change coaches, I don't have a problem with it organizationally. I wouldn't have a problem with the state as well. But, you know, this is a pivotal season and pivotal offseason with Kevin Adams. Like, what are you going to do to make this team better? Because it's clearly good enough to be a cusp team. But who, and you guys know this, you know the sport. The worst thing you could do in the sport is be mediocre. You can't be mediocre. You can't be the ninth place team every season because you won't elevate to the first. Right? And I know this team has been at the depths. It hasn't worked. But this is a pivotal season for Kevin Adams and obviously the organization as well.
Yeah, we look at the payroll. You know, and sure, they've signed some of their core players, but Dennis, they've been in the bottom four each of the last four years. Let me ask you the question this way, and it's about ownership, not just in Buffalo, but compared to other owners in the NHL. If I said to just the average sports fan, who are the dysfunctional organizations in the NFL? We'd point to Carolina. Maybe somebody would say Cleveland or the Jets. I think the Sabres are in this conversation, certainly, with the way they've kind of stripped things down in the front office and they're running leaner. But, comparatively speaking, are they the most dysfunctional organization in the NHL, or who would you compare them to?
No, nobody's more dysfunctional than Arizona. So there's 31 dysfunctions, and there's Arizona, right? So let's put Arizona on the side. Are they dysfunctional? I don't know. I think that's a little bit of a stretch. Now, I'm sure there are a ton of Sabres fans listening to the show that will disagree with me pretty vehemently, but I don't think it's to that extent because I think they've done well with trades. I think they won through the draft, but their players are younger. So look, if Rasmus Dahlin came across 3 years from now, he's probably a $9 million cap hit, not a $6 million cap hit. So there's some timing involved. Now, I think the point in time where you call it dysfunctional, and I agree with you from one respect, not making the playoffs when half the teams make the playoffs and it's been 12 seasons, that's not good, right? That's not good. That's a result-based thing, right? That's bad decisions in the front office. Does it mean it's dysfunction there? Well, I know there's been – I know the stories out of Buffalo with the Pegulas. I get it. I understand it. And you're right about the organization being more lean. Has it hurt the organization? Have they not been able to draft a great player because there's one less scout in the front office? I don't think that's the case. But again, now that you're in a position, you have a core forming here. Like you've got three on the blue line, you have a couple up front. Now, what is Kevin Adams going to do or what's the organization going to do to add to this? Right, this is another fork in the road for the organization. And to your point, there's been too many forks in the road where you think, okay, they're going to achieve it. And I've been on this for 3-4 years. I thought the Sabres would be a top three team in the Atlantic this season. I really did. I thought this was going to be the season. And to end it like this, when you're behind Philadelphia and Washington and Pittsburgh, who aren't playoff worthy things, you could say there's some dysfunction here, but I don't think it's just based on results. I think there are other things involved with respect to the organization as well.
Dennis, you brought up the most dysfunctional team in the NHL, and I wanted to see if we can get an update from you what we know about the relocation of the Arizona Coyotes to Salt Lake City.
Okay, so the crux of all this, where this really got traction about moving, obviously the owner put out a post on social media saying, hey, you know what? If a team moved to Utah, what would you want to name it, right? That was what I'm like, oh boy, okay, so something's going to go on. Here's the real reality of what's going on and why this is getting some traction now. If they put a shovel in the ground today in Arizona, wherever, Scottsdale, Phoenix, which the Scottsdale doesn't want them if you listen to the mayor, wherever. It would take at least 3 years to build a building. So what does that mean? That means they'd be in Mullet Arena for 5 years. And that, I believe, for the Board of Governors is untenable right now. Because when they signed on, remember, it was a 3-year deal, maybe a fourth as an option, and they'd be out of there. Well, that's if they built the building today and they still haven't won the land auction. Who knows when construction starts? So now this is why you're hearing this, that maybe it's the best because look, I went to opening night at Mullet. I thought it was a great experience. The not-so-good experience was the guy crashing into me with his French fries and his soda because there's no press box. And I'm sitting at the top of the lower bowl in a chair where normally there would be drinks served. So that's not really good. And I'm sure the facilities in the locker room, it's Arizona State, which is cool when you go out in Tempe and Mill Street after the game, which is really great. But during games, it's not so great. So I think that, and certainly Marty Walsh, who's the head of the NHLPA, is now meeting with agents in Los Angeles this week about the top topic is Arizona. Because, and I know there's some compassion, like if they move – You know, do you feel sorry for the players that are living in Arizona? Please, I don't feel sorry for anybody. You have to move. People move for jobs all the time. So that's not the issue. So the real crux of the situation is certainly the building. But I will tell you this, like, even if they move this, even if they move to Salt Lake City, they're not giving up on Arizona. Like, they've dug their heels too deep into the sand in the desert to think, okay, it hasn't worked. What would happen is Ryan Smith would buy the team from Murillo, right? Probably pay an expansion fee as well. So it'd probably be a $2 million acquisition, which he can afford. And then 3 to 5 years, when we get to 36 teams, and we will, one of the teams will be in Arizona. And now they're afraid about lawsuits, or maybe Murillo will get that franchise back. But if they leave Arizona, and for people who think it's Arizona, it won't work in the desert, well, that's not the case. Like, they'll go back there as an expansion team if this doesn't get resolved with the Coyotes stay there. But I think for all, and not for nothing, the arena in Salt Lake City is not built for hockey.
Right.
It's going to be like, and I reference Arizona again, it's like the old America West Arena, where you at one end there's obstructive view, but it's double the attendance. I think if it's right now for hockey, the attendance is probably, I don't know, 12,000, 13,000. Well, that's double or triple what they get in Arizona right now, so it makes sense. So I think that's the situation right now. It's leaning that way, but as Frank Saravelli, who's one of the main reporters in hockey, said, there's a lot of layers and a lot of lawyers, so this is not done yet, but it's trending in that direction.
Yeah, I mean, Dennis, when we have you on, we over the years here, we've been talking about expansion. We saw Vegas. We saw Seattle. We hear all this noise that Atlanta would be in the mix. Yeah. So do you think we're going to get to a point here? And if so, like, what timeline this out for us? Like, when does the league say, all right, we'll take some more checks here, please?
Okay, so probably 2 to 3 years, you're going to have Utah and probably Atlanta. And they're going to go back to Atlanta. And not only this, guys. Well, people thought it didn't work. There are two groups in Atlanta wanting to buy a team. It's not just Anson Carter and his group. It's another guy named Krause who owns, I believe, car dealerships in Atlanta, has another location in Atlanta. And I think what stirred all that was, you know, there used to be downtown Atlanta facilities and stadiums. And Atlanta's not a great sports town. Let's be real. It's not. But now the suburban, what happened was the Braves moved north and they built this nice facility and a nice destination around the park, and it became popular and it's selling out games again. And so other people in Atlanta said, okay, how do I get in on this new area to develop? Well, through an NHL team. So yeah, you'll see Atlanta. You meet now, you know, for not for nothing, like Tillman Fertitta in Houston forever said, no, I'm not interested in a hockey team. No, I don't need a second tenant in my building with the Rockets. And now this week he's talking to the NHL about being part of a group to buy a team. Like, it's happening. And you know why? Business is good. And I get what fans are saying. You might dilute the product. There's too many players, whatever. No, business is really good, because you mentioned Seattle and Vegas. You had two billionaires lining up and didn't blink, wrote checks, spent money in your organization. One won a Stanley Cup in 6 years. The other one had success 2 years out of the box in the playoffs. It's a good business to be in. And for billionaires that want a toy and want to bring their friends to games and show off their shiny new toy of a hockey team, that's why there's interest in this league. And the play is very, very good, because, you know, when you eventually talk about the game itself and the Stanley Cup playoffs, you can make the case for 10 teams being in there. And I'll never forget one thing, guys. I'll end with this with respect to expansion. I asked Gary Bettman last year about, you know, the surprising results of Vegas winning and Seattle doing well. He goes, I'm not surprised, because we set up the rules for them to succeed. And I get it. If you pay $1 billion for a franchise, do you want 15 years for it to be successful, or do you want almost immediate, you know, satisfaction and performance? You do. So that's why they set up the rules the way they do. So the next team, look, I'm not telling you they're going to win the Cups in 6 or 7 years like Vegas did, or be successful like Seattle was second out of the box, but they will have good players on those teams. They will be more competitive than back in the day when Ottawa came in the league and Winnipeg first came in the league. So that's a situation with respect to expansion. It's going to happen whether fans like it or not, because the business is doing that well.
Dennis, the Sabres regular season home finale is tonight in Buffalo against the Capitals. Playoff implications there. We also have another matchup with playoff implications between the Red Wings and the Penguins. Between the Caps, the Wings, and the Pens, is there a real team out of those three that can make a push in the postseason?
Well, Pittsburgh's playing the best. But if you ever watch Pittsburgh play in the playoffs since they won the Stanley Cup, they're not making a push. They'll go out in five games. Like, they're just not competitive enough. So, and it's great to see one thing. I'll say this about Washington, Pittsburgh, and Detroit. Like, in the midst of this run, and I won't even call it a run, guys, because here's your case, exhibit A, for not expanding the playoffs when you have these mediocre, marginal teams fighting for the last playoff spot. Like, we don't need the 10th place team. We don't need the Flyers, who lost 9-3 in Montreal and gave up 9 5-on-5 goals in the playoffs, right? But to me, the most satisfying thing is, who's leading Washington? Ovechkin. Who's leading Pittsburgh? Sidney. Who's leading Detroit to some extent? Patrick Kane. So it's great to see these players trying to lift the level of these teams getting in. I think Pittsburgh has the edge. I think they're 6-1-3 in their last 10. They have 3 home games, but they're tough ones. You mentioned Detroit tonight. Then they have Boston at home on Saturday. And Nashville, who's hot as a pistol, cool off a little bit on Monday. So it's going to be tough. I'm personally rooting, not because of Ovechkin, I want to see a team with a minus 40 goal differential in the playoffs, right? That will end the conversation about expanding the playoffs, because Washington, and look, I get it. It's score effect. When they win all close games. When they lose, they get blown out 5-6-0, right? So that's why you're in a predicament that you are. But I will say this, better if you're the Bruins or the Rangers, the worst team right now in position, to be honest with you, are the Bruins. I think of all the playoff teams. Because you know who they're going to play in the first round? They're going to play the Tampa Bay Lightning. Mm. And that's probably the last team you want to play in the playoffs, because they're coming. The goalie's getting healthy. Stamkos is there. Everybody knows about Kucherov. He's going to be a finalist for the MVP. It's going to be very, very interesting. So the three teams that are battling for the final spot, I give the edge to Pittsburgh because of their home, you know, the remaining home schedule, and they've been playing best of the three.
Meanwhile, like the Hurricanes will get the Islanders or something silly like that. Like, Dennis, we ask this question every year because somebody's going to get screwed in this. And as you mentioned, like, it's always the Atlantic Division. It seems like, hey, this is a matchup that shouldn't be happening here in the first round. Is any movement here to get this format finally changed here? Because fans certainly seemingly want it.
Well, I don't know if fans seemingly want it. To be honest with you, I think a lot of the matchups right now would kind of be the same. Like, if it was 1-8, you'd have in the East, you have Rangers, Capitals, Carolina Islanders, Bruins, Lightning. You'd have the same matchups if you went 1-8, if you do by points right now. So here's the thing. If you really wanted to change it, you know what you have to do? You'd have to do 1-16.
Yeah.
And then you have a situation where if New York plays Los Angeles in the first round, these teams are flying, you know, coast to coast 3 or 4 times. That's not really fair. And that's not how you, because you build rivalries in the playoffs. Like, you know, I'm kind of rooting for the Islanders drop to the 8. So we have the Islanders Rangers first round. And after what went on in the last game about Lobby saying there was, you know, egregious and, you know, and intentional elbows and stuff like that, I want the Rangers and the Islanders to play. So I think the only way you're going to drastically change it, the format, because I just showed you, it's going to be the same matchups. You would have to do 1-16. I just don't think that's tenable because there'd be potentially too much travel and it'd be unfair to certain teams.
Who's real in the East? Because the Panthers have you know, come on strong once again. The Bruins, we mentioned. The Rangers, you know, the most points in the NHL. What do you like about these teams out East as we approach the Stanley Cup playoffs, Dennis?
Well, I think with respect to contenders, I think there's mirror images of the East and West. I can make the case for 10 teams winning the Cup, right? So there's 5 in the East: Boston, Florida, Toronto, New York, and Carolina. And guess what? I can also make the case for every one of these teams losing in the first round, right? Is Freddie Anderson going to get hurt? Are the Rangers' depth good enough? Is the center play going to be good enough in Boston? Florida, you know, they've regressed a little bit. Toronto, can we count on their big four to produce in the playoffs? So I think that certainly the three finishers in the top three in the Atlantic, legit. I love the way Toronto's playing. They have one of the best records the last 2 months of the season. New York is certainly legit with Shesterkin. You know, Panarin's not going to win the MVP, but he's certainly putting up the MVP season. I love Carolina. Full disclosure, I picked Carolina over Dallas to start the season at thefourthperiod.com. That was my prediction. Love what Carolina's doing. They have the depth. That Freddie Anderson's going to be healthy. They've got a lot of things going for them. So I think that the number three in the Metro is not for real. And I mentioned Tampa Bay, but do I think they're a 3-round team or a 4-round team? I don't think at this point. But the 5, any one of those 5 can emerge from the East at this point.
Dennis, last one for me, and I'm asking this because Washington is in the area tonight as the Sabres opponent. We'll have the game at 7 o'clock here. Ovechkin. Like, it's not going to happen next year, but I'm going to figure he's going to continue to play. And, like, we're going to have this chase on for Gretzky. I never thought we would be saying something like that. So your perspective being in Los Angeles that Gretzky could get tracked down and will I mean, this is an opportunity for the NHL to get some eyeballs here if this ends up being a chase here in 2 years.
Oh, yeah. And Alex has two more years on his deal after this one at $9.5 million. You know why he signed that contract. Not because he needs the money, because he wants to break a record. And he will. And the rush he put on at this point, like, because remember, he was in the mid-teens of goal scoring. I thought he'd score 18 or 19 goals this year, and think, okay, does he have the wherewithal? And now he's at, what, 30? Mm-hmm. Like, he went with a rush he came in. So, yeah, he won't break it next year, but he will certainly break it in the next season. And the fact that they have TNT and TBS and ESPN and who else knows by the time he's getting close to the record covering this league, of course it's a huge media opportunity. I'm sure it'll be covered. Every game will be covered probably by a network once he gets down to, you know, one or two goals behind. And he is the greatest goal scorer of our generation and eventually of all time.
It's
without
amazing.
Question. And the fact that he's rarely been hurt, guys, that's the other thing. To go through, he's played 1,422 regular season games and another 147 playoff games. It's a lot of hockey for a guy. And the way he plays, you know, that physicality when he came in the league, he's pared it back a little bit now. But it's just a testament to the guy who will eventually be the greatest goal scorer of all time in the NHL.
Dennis, tell us a little bit about the fourth period, what you guys are working on here as we get closer to the Stanley Cup playoffs. Looking forward to it.
So, it's all about the playoffs, boys. So we'll be at thefourthperiod.com. We have our predictions. We'll be doing video coverage. We have a sponsor for our video coverage, so probably daily or at least every other day we'll be talking about all the playoff matchups. We're excited, and as I mentioned, it's wide open. 10 teams can win the Stanley Cup this year. That's the power in this league is like it's never been before because there's so many great players in this league. So look for us on social media, at our website, thefourthperiod.com. And also, I sit in on Sirius XM. On weekends, we do the Hot Stove from 11, 1 Eastern. I also sit in sometimes during the weekday shows as well.
Yeah, and I want to get out to L.A. just to kind of go through Rockingham and some of these points with Dennis just to give me the guided tour.
Oh, you got it. Anytime. Free of charge, too. I usually charge. But for you,
Dennis, you're the best, man. Thanks for the time. Appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
Great being on Sports Bar, boys. Thanks for the time. Appreciate it.
Dennis Bernstein, the fourth period. Always great to get caught up with Dennis. Love the OJ story. We'll get to more OJ here in a little bit. Happy hour next in the Sports
Bar. We'll get to another OJ story here. Anybody that wants to kind of weigh in, our phone number 585-866-4326, 866-4FAN.
All right, more next. The Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia on the Fan.
You're listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.